Well, I got to be honest with you. I'm
That's
really
good. Honesty's always good.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
We don't need any preachers lying.
Turn off his mic. I'm really excited, or it's a little bit of I'm a little bit nervous, a little bit of both. But I'll tell you what, David has helped me. He laid hands, gave me a double portion, so I think I'm good to go. So if you would go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, when Pastor asked us, a couple of us pastors, to look at 2 Timothy and kind of pick a passage, I thought of this one instantly. It's a powerful verse that's very applicable to our lives, especially today. So if you would read with me chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man or an athlete also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer, hardworking farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. Let's pray and we will get into the text. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I thank you for Berean. I thank you for this people. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I communicate this truth. And I pray that we would open our hearts and our lives, our minds, and we would apply what we learned today or tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a couple things I want to go over before we get into the context of the scripture. And Pastor has definitely hit this in the first chapter, especially pretty hard, a sermon or two, about Paul's love and care for this young man, Timothy. And before you go into this passage, we all know the saying of those who say, I can care less about how much you know until I know how much you care. And for Timothy, you better believe in the person and the work, the actions, the care, the mentoring of Paul. He knew Paul cared for him. In that first chapter alone, if you look with me in verse 2, 3, and 4, you'll see, my dearly beloved son. In verse 3, he says that without ceasing, I have remembered thee. Verse 4, he basically tells him, I long to see you. These are words that we can take notice, that, and you better believe that Timothy took notice, and he knew that without a doubt, this person, Paul, cared and loved Timothy. Along with that, the second point, no one's been a better example to us or as Christians outside of the person and work of Christ than Paul himself, right? He wasn't a person who's just going to talk the talk and tell you what to do without showing the example. He was the person that basically was this strong man who endured hardness. I mean, you can look through the history of Acts and you can see everything that he went through. Shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake, and that is just the minute things compared to everything else that this man's faced. And you better believe he's thinking of Timothy saying, you are going to go through things in life as well. It's not just me, myself, and I, but you, Timothy, you are going to face some hardness in this life. Prepare yourself. You must be strong so that you can endure. And the third point I'd like for you to think about is the fact that Paul just wants Timothy to remain faithful. Like, he realizes, I'm not always going to be around. At this point, we know that in context of writing this 2 Timothy, this letter, you know, he's in chains. He might be facing death. The end could be near. Timothy, these are important words that I want to stress and I want you to get. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, these two separate letters, you see a difference in the communication of Paul. Qualifications, how to be a minister, what to do, what to look for, a list of things. And then in 2 Timothy, it's almost, his language is hold fast, be strong, endure, be faithful. And what better message for us today? And just our everyday lives, we got the everyday neighbor. We have friends, we have family, we have just our church in general, things we experience on an everyday basis, just our everyday lives, the things we expect, we know is going to come. And even in those things, we realize the importance of being strong. Man, it doesn't take long in life for even a preteen or a teenager to realize that there's going to be hardship, that there's going to be some hardness in life. You know, you can look at the news, and I think Pastor talked about this before podcast the other day. He made mention that unlike ever before, you go back 100 years ago, and if you had peace or like a good time in your region, like a city like Fayetteville or North Carolina or even the United States, you wouldn't hear of all the devastation that's going on around the world. You would have a little bit of a break. Like if there wasn't a tornado, if there wasn't war, if there wasn't a shooting here, you wouldn't hear about it. But the media today, it's just every day, it's just bombarding us. ISIS, you have riots, you have the politics. And by September, I didn't think I talked to anybody that was excited about the election anymore. It was just like, please just be over. Just our everyday work as a soldier, a military town, we have men and women going to deployment, and they're gone for months. And then the family has to react. They have to deal with this. Just the busyness. You look, you know, you can be around BBA for just a matter of days, and with sports, with the music concerts, the plays, the activities, everything that we have scheduled, the busyness of life. I feel sorry for some of the moms because they're just go, 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 go. Our dads, our fathers are just work, church. We have deacons that they're involved in two or three ministries, and they got a job that they're in charge of, a business that they own. And we are stretched thin, right? And these are the things we expect. These are the things that we know, just everyday life. But what happens when we face the real stuff? And everyone in here at one time or another or in the future is going to face this stuff. I mean, when has your car gone out or broken down when you expected it to? It's like I was in Michigan. It's like 20 degrees, and I have all my family, we're all together at my sister's house, and we're getting ready for church. The van has ran fine all week long, and then we're like just on time, which is a big deal with all these nieces and nephews running around, and we're like, oh yeah, we're like 5 minutes early, this is great, this is good for our family. And then doesn't turn. Battery's dead, we got to charge it, then we have to leave, we end up being like 15 minutes late. And my brother-in-law, he's just like, he's just upset, just mad. And on a more serious matter, it doesn't take long to be here at Berean, and on Sunday morning as pastors going along with prayer requests, that we see the reality of disease and ailments, cancer. And it's like just in this body alone, we have people going through some hard stuff. So where are you going to get your strength? And I think Paul realized the importance of what we as Christians, like Timothy, man, we're going to need it. We have to have strength to endure through these things. And he says in that first verse, if you read with me, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in your strengths, in your own abilities, your own intelligence, your own authority, your power, your best." No, that's not what he says. He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You have your five talent guys, right? Like Jesus gives the parable, the one talent, two talent. You know, I'd say I'm a one, two talent guy. But then you have your five talent guys who, man, they're smart. They can do anything and everything. I heard that. They can do anything and everything. They can work with their hands. They can do whatever. They have this high intelligence, Dave. And they're just brilliant. But even those people like Paul is a five-talent guy. He's not depending on his own abilities, his own strengths. You know, Paul didn't go through all he went and got to this point where he's pinning it down and saying, "Timothy, I depended on my own strength." He knew where the source came from. "I'm only going to endure. I'm only going to be strong in the grace that's found in Christ." So be strong in what? We already talked about that. It's not his own abilities, his own strength. Timothy, you're a bright young man. You got a good future, but you're not going to find it in and among yourself. Paul said it's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He even mentioned this grace in chapter 1. Will you look with me in verse 8? "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And here it comes. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through" what? The gospel. The grace is in Christ. So Paul, I would think, knew what grace meant. I thought Matthew Henry did it well, so I'm just going to read from him. "It is God's love and action towards men who deserve the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a single finger to save themselves. Grace means God sending his own son to descend into hell on the cross so that we guilty ones might be reconciled or restored to God and received into heaven. Grace means, or grace may be defined as, the unmerited or undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation." That's you, that's me, that's everyone in this world. Man, if you don't have the right grip on the grace of God, you're not going to find yourself with the strength you need to endure. And Paul knew that. Knew that grace is in Christ. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses." That didn't help me out. That law that Moses gave did not benefit me. It didn't strengthen me. It didn't strengthen or help you. But this is what helped us. The grace and truth came through Christ. That grace came through Jesus Christ. That's what helps me. That's what strengthens me. Another point, there is grace enough in him for all. Turn to Romans 3. I have 22 through 24 on the screen, but I think I'm going to read starting in verse 21. Romans 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him or those which believe in Jesus. To sum it up, I have it in bold, for all who believe are justified by his grace. Finally, God chose to extend his grace to you. Not only is there grace in him, not only is the grace for all, but he chose specifically you. That he's given it unto you. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay, who's writing this? This is Paul. Okay, not boasting upon what he's done. It's all the works of Christ. It's a gift even to him. Not by the works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. Timothy, you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And he had a right perspective of the grace of God in his life. So Paul knew, or he knows where our strength comes from. As believers, we should know without a doubt it's the grace of God. Ephesians 1, 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, the accordance with the riches of God's grace. Okay, so here's some application. This is a great verse. Verse 2 of chapter 2 in 2 Timothy. Let's read at verse 1 and go to 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in that strength, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. It's this multiplication effect that Paul's talking about. Paul's saying to Timothy, what I've committed to you, now commit to faithful man. No, faithful men. And he said before that, look, he said among many witnesses. Timothy's not the only one that he's telling this truth, that he's giving this, committing to. There's more. And he's saying, Timothy, you need to do the same thing. It's this idea, I put a couple examples on there. It's like, I've been here for 6 months, and already, at first I had Pastor Sean on there, on that top part, for me, and then I thought about Pastor Steve, and Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Dave, Brian, or Pastor Brian, sorry. All five of them, in a matter of 6 months, have invested, have mentored, have helped, have encouraged me. And then in return, do I just go, I'm good, I'm strong? No. Who am I going to reach out to? Who am I going to mentor? Who am I going to help? You know, Pastor had us list some 2017 goals for ourselves. And that was one that I wrote down because I was going through this passage and I'm going, I've got to reach out. I teach 10th grade Bible. There's got to be a couple boys that I can reach out to this year. You know, and the application goes to you as well. You know, Sunday school teachers, I know that there's a few out there. Okay, is it just a Sunday morning teaching, or are you investing in some of their lives? Are you reaching out? It's not to all, but to some. And then, of course, those who are receiving the teaching, some of you that are here three times a week, some of you who are here multiple times, you're involved in all the ministries, and you have leadership that are, they're investing, they're mentoring, they're teaching, they're preaching, and they're giving, 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 giving. What in return are you doing? Because I don't think Paul would have just ministered and ministered and ministered to Timothy unless he thought he was going to be a faithful man as well who taught others. Amen. And the application goes both ways. Are you someone that Timothy would have considered to be faithful? Because look at Paul's language, not just men or people. Okay, ladies, not just to every woman that you encounter. Like faithful men, faithful women, people who will teach or invest in others also. Because Paul knew he's at the end of his life. He probably realizes that. And he knows time is limited, right? We have 24 hours a day. You know, Pastor Sean or whoever, they didn't do the children's ministry because they are already wore out thin doing this, 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 and that. They only have 24 hours to give, just like you, just like me. And we have to realize that there is importance in our time management. And Paul knew that for Timothy. Timothy, minister or commit to the faithful men. Are you found faithful? And then if you are, who are you finding to commit to invest in? Okay, I think Paul realized that there are strength in numbers, that it's important. He invested in others, not just Timothy. Think about his missionary trips. Did he ever go alone? I don't remember. I don't remember that. I remember he always took someone. I remember he always had somebody with him. You know, Timothy's not the only one. You turn a couple pages and you find out a letter to who? Titus. Okay. Would Paul tell Timothy to do something he himself wasn't doing? Okay. And the fact of the matter is that we all have a responsibility to not just talk the talk, but walk it, do it. And you better believe Paul was found faithful and he was doing it. Little graph here that shows that it's not just that one to one to one. It's not just Paul to Timothy, Timothy to another person. It's like this, it shows the growth, right? Man, there's three individuals right there we see through Scripture that Paul invested in. He mentored. He helped. He gave time, energy, effort to. And looking at verse number 2, he believed that those men were going to do what? Do it also. And they were going to teach those men who would do it also. Okay, so verses 1 and 2, we see that Timothy, be strong, commit to faithful men. Now what? Verse 3, look at it. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the soldier aspect because it's again in verse 4. So I want to concentrate on the enduring hardness. Endure, simple definition, suffer something painful or difficult patiently, or to remain in existence or last. This idea of a short sprint, and I hope we all understand, right? That, and Paul uses that language many times in his writing. Like, it's a long race. You have to endure. You have to set a mark. And for each and every one of us, what we're facing in life today, in the future, you are going to have to endure that hardness. It's hard. It's not easy. We have people in just this church alone suffering. I think of Brother Harold with his back injury. And I got to talk with him for a good 40 minutes or so about his back at the men's retreat. And man, he wasn't moping about himself. He was thanking God for everything in life. And it's this idea that, man, he gets it. He gets the grace that's found in Christ. That he can endure this physical ailment because he knows the end result. He knows how good God is. And each and every one of us, we could go to cancer. We could go to adoption. You know, my wife was adopted. My wife was taken out of a life of abuse. That's not easy. That's not something that you can just brush off and it's over. It's done with. You have to endure. And you're not going to endure unless you realize the grace found in God and you're strengthened by it. And in that strength, you're able to endure that hardness. He, again, look at chapter 1 with me. And he talks a little bit about that endurance. Chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, Timothy, this is why I suffer these things. And then he's challenging, he's telling Timothy, hold fast. And again in chapter 2, endure hardness. Man, it's so important that we stay faithful for the testimony of Christ. Timothy, I might be gone. Endure. Be strong. Because people are watching you. Teenagers, there are people watching you. Other teens, adults. I mean, parents, of course. Our kids are watching us. Look at verse 4 with me, chapter 2. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The ESV, I think, puts it a little bit clearer, and it says, no soldier. Now remember what verse 3 said. Okay, if we go back, it's not just a soldier, but it's a good soldier. And I think we could plug that in right there. No good soldier gets entangled in the civilian pursuit since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. His commanding officer, his general, his captain. Okay, and the spiritual application is really easy because we have a lot of families that are involved in the military life, right? We have a lot of men and women who are soldiers. And you can read that verse right there, and you can already tell yourself, yeah, there has to be a separation. That many soldiers, you have to take all the many hats that you have in this life, in the civilian life, and when you are on duty, and you're deployed, and you are in active service, you have an obligation, a responsibility, a duty to please your commanding officer. to help your fellow soldiers with a goal. And Paul knew that this is a great example for us to apply in our spiritual warfare. Man, if these things entangle us as Christians, he's saying you are not going to be a good soldier for Christ. And your aim, because you realize the grace of God, you realize that you've been strengthened, then you're not going to let these things entangle you. You know, Paul has used this language before of a soldier, right? You know, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, etc. He uses all these things to help us apply biblical truth to our lives, and he gives us the example of a soldier. You know, a good soldier, it's not a suggestion. Your commanding officer tells you to do something, it is a requirement, and you will get it done. And Paul's saying this is no different than our life. Like, we should apply the same principle. No good soldier ever gave up. If something gets in the way, it must be removed. If it diverts or hurts your ability to get your job done, as a soldier, you're going to remove that. If Timothy did not endure hardness, then he's not pleasing. Entangling leads to diversion, which hinders our duty. Soldier life that Paul's giving, this example, and then you just straight apply it to my spiritual walk. And it's easy. 1, 2, 3. But yet we realize how hard it is with the affairs of this life. Those slides, the pictures I showed, the first couple slides. Man, it gets busy, it gets hectic, it's chaotic. And then you add the problems or the real stuff that just comes in, the storms of this life, and it's hard. Paul went through that. We're not alone. Paul endured it. He was found faithful. He was found strong. You're getting stoned to death and you want to go to the next city? Fight the good fight. I mean, that's the mentality of a soldier, right? And he's saying, as a Christian with the spiritual warfare, he's saying, keep going, Timothy. Keep fighting the good fight. Because it's worth it. And he's going to talk about that in verse 6. Man, there's fruit. Man, we have promises from Christ himself telling what we get in the future. And I wanted to split these two things because I know sometimes I can think of just the do's and the don'ts, right? Okay, I'm not doing the bad stuff, Pastor Nate, Pastor Sean. Like, I'm not doing the immorality. I'm not a drunk. I'm not doing this. Okay, that's just some of it. Okay, of course, Paul's saying, okay, those are part of the things you need to get out of your life. You can't let entangle you because it's going to affect your effectiveness for Christ as a servant, as a soldier. But I'm saying even the good stuff. I'm saying money. We all have to deal with that, right? I mean, we're all in agreement. Like, I need money. My wife needs money, all right? But it can become an issue. Sports is a good thing. It taught me a lot of life lessons growing up. But man, if it's getting in the way of my spiritual walk, Paul says, no way, Timothy. Get rid of it. A soldier's not going to keep that around. Entertainment, news, politics, activities, whatever it is, and it's getting in the way of your walk, get rid of it. I'm going through 1 John with 5th and 6th graders right now, and we are going through chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Just not loving the world. And I said, if you're giving 30 hours to video games, and you don't even give 20 minutes to Bible study or devos or whatever, like, that's a serious issue that's just going to grow. And the older you get, it's a habit now. It's going to entangle you. What's going to happen when you get a full-time job? You can't give 70 hours of your life to that a week. Like, it's going to hinder you from working. Like, reality, the real work. Like, the affairs of this life, we have to realize the importance of making sure we are balanced, making sure that we have our priorities right. It's important. Verse 5. And if a man or an athlete also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Okay, again, I felt like the ESV kind of did it more justice, saying an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And right instantly, you know who I thought about? I'm a Utah Jazz fan, and I thought, Michael Jordan. And he beat us twice, 97-98. He was excellent. He worked out, lifted weights before ball games, unlike anybody else during that time. Because most guys are just thinking, oh, I don't want to affect my shot. Michael Jordan's just like pounding them out. Like, just going to make me better. You know, you have Peyton Manning, and you talk to some of the athletes that played with him, the preparation that he put before every week, hours and hours to be this excellent QB for his team. But yet, the title up there, striving for excellence. Looking at verse 5, a athlete also strive for masteries. He strives lawfully. Michael Jordan didn't win an NBA title until 7 years. It took him 7 years to get there. Peyton Manning, I think it was eight years. These guys strived for it, and it wasn't immediate results. And I remember being a teenager going to a summer camp and being on fire for God. And I remember reading my Bible for a week after summer camp, and then I went, I'm still struggling with my thought life. I still got this anger. And I remember just going, I give up. And then I'd go back to normal for the rest of the year. And it's this idea of striving for excellence. Guys, they get a trophy that's not going to last for eternity. They get a piece of metal, and they give their whole life away for that. And Paul, or the Bible, reminds us that that's the perishable stuff. The stuff that's going to burn. And look at what they devote. I mean, Michael Jordan's basically going to give his whole life to basketball. Now an owner. Not just a player who worked all like 40 years. Now he's probably going to give another 40 years being an owner. And he's devoting his whole life to a sport. What greater cause do we have as Christians with the truth and the grace of God for us to strive for excellence? Amen. Like, we hear it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and it can become so, yeah. But it's just like, what are you doing each and every day? Are you devoting yourself to excellence? Are you doing things on purpose? These guys did. You know, 3 points. A Christian is to strive for masteries. He must aim at mastering anything that is detrimental to their success. Kind of familiar, kind of almost goes along the lines of the soldier, right? Yet he must strive according to the laws given to him. He must strive lawfully. Like, there are rules in Christianity, right? There are the do's and the don'ts, and I try to emphasize this to even the 5th and 6th grade, because they're already getting this mindset of like do's, don'ts, you know, our parents, you know, God, it's do's, don'ts. And I'm trying to get them to the fact to see that God's doing this because he wants us to benefit from these do's and don'ts. Like, he just wants goodness in our life. He wants to bless us and use us. And there's rules. There's requirements, like a soldier, like an athlete who strives to be excellent. They abide by some certain rules. Armstrong, you know, all these baseball players in the last 20 years, steroids, blood doping, they didn't get away with it. They got everything taken away because they didn't abide by some rules. And Paul's letting us know as Christians, you know, this comparison again, like the soldier, now the athlete, you can apply this to your spiritual walk. There's rules and they're there to help you. It's because that God loves you. Amen. Thirdly, those who do so shall be crowned at last after a complete victory is obtained and running the race. And Paul knew what he had coming, right? I mean, we don't really think of Paul going up and getting beheaded like I think we all can think is probably what happened. And we don't think of that and then go, Paul's just going, ugh. No, Paul was strong and he endured all this stuff we have and can see in Scripture. Man, he knew what was coming. Man, to die is to gain. I get to be with Christ. And this whole life that I've given up for Christ and for the gospel, man, I got some reward waiting for me. And man, and just like the athlete who's looking for that medal, that ring, that trophy, as Christians, man, we have a lot of promises and things that God's got waiting to just to give. Man, I'd love for you to serve me so I can just give you this. In verse 6, and the husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. ESV says this, it is the hard working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. I think we'd all agree with that statement, right? Or that truth. Reap what you sow. Man, if you're sowing hard work, hopefully all of us would agree, man, that person should reap what he sows. And of course, a God who's fair and has rules, he's saying this is what I've taught. You reap what you sow. The athlete, you know, Johnny Manziel, you know, he went in there thinking, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to do just what I did in college. That was shot down real quick. It wasn't immediate success. And he wasn't willing to put in the work. He'd rather go to the clubs and go do this and live it up and do this. And is he even signed right now? No. The fact of just the spiritual application here is as Christians, you sow hard work. You're the good soldier. You're the athlete who strives for excellence. Man, you're going to reap the benefit. You're going to be first partaker of the fruit. James 5:7 says, be patient. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Okay, the farmer doesn't plant the seed and then go the next day thinking, what? No, the farmer knows he's got to be patient with his hard work, that it doesn't happen overnight. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Okay, again, reflecting on what is promised for us as believers, as children of God. Man, the list is huge. God's a good God. And so, in reflection to these three people or three jobs that Paul gives us The application's simple. Are you a good soldier? Are you putting the armor of God on? And are you strong? And are you enduring hardness? Are you immovable? Are you getting your job done? You're not letting anything entangle your spiritual walk. Are you a striving athlete? Are you striving for excellence? I mean, let's be honest. 6 months in here, listening to Pastor Sean and Pastor Dave, it's like, I got a lot to fill tonight. And I'm not thinking after 6 months that a couple times of preaching or 6 months I can excel myself and I might reach that limit where I can be like, yeah, I'm good too. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, there's striving there. I'm going to have to do this on purpose. I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to labor. I'm going to have to take some advice and go to some faithful men and go, what do I need to work on? What can I do better? What do I need? Are you a hard-working farmer? You somebody who just outworks other people? Men's Bible study on Wednesdays, we just talked, I believe it was the last chapter that we went over, and it was the fact that these Christians were working for unsaved people or saved people, and he's telling Timothy, like, they need to work hard to give God glory before these unbelievers. Like, you need to work hard so that they can see a good testimony. Timothy, endure hardness, be strong, because people are watching you at your workplace. You have children that are going to make decisions based on how you act, how you live. Are you a hard-working farmer? Man, I remember at our public school, it was a small school, country bumpkins everywhere in Northeast Missouri, and I remember being the best basketball player. It was just like, yeah, all eight of us on a team or whatever. And then I remember, and I know PCC is a small Christian school. It doesn't mount up much to like D1 level basketball. But I remember going and trying out, and I was the second shortest guy out of 40 guys trying out. And I'm going, this is different. And I remember I made 10 for 10 for my layups. And then there's just guys behind me just going, boom, slamming it down. And I'm going, I better work hard. And that was my mentality. I'm going to be tenacious. I'm just going to be crazy on defense. Like, I'm going to outwork everybody when we're running drills. We're just running. We're lifting weights. I'm going to outwork everybody. Man, and I barely made the squad my first year there. And I was the water boy, and I played 3 minutes that year, and it was awful. But I remember my coach said, if you work this hard next year, I'll let you be on the team again. I'm like, thanks a lot. Yeah, this is great. But in reality, in our life, man, there's a lot of obstacles we have to face. Amen. These giants, these storms, and you're going to have to work hard if you're going to be a successful Christian. You know, these examples are what Paul chose to give Timothy for the purpose of expressing the importance of being strong, enduring hardness as a follower of Jesus Christ. One reference and then one example, and then we'll be done. I instantly, every time I read this passage for the last couple years, I think of Doug Lewis. He's my brother-in-law's father. And from my sophomore to my senior year, I worked for a tree service company in Chesapeake, Virginia, and I lived with my sister. And I went to their church those 2 summers. Doug Lewis was one of the first guys to say hello. "Hey, man, how you doing? I don't know who you are. What's up, man?" And I'm just going, "You're friendly." And he was, "Hey, let me take you out to lunch." And I'm thinking, you know, because I'm, you know, my sisters and their family, I'm thinking I'm going to lunch with all these people. He takes me by myself, and we have lunch, and we just talk. Where are you at in your spiritual walk? I mean, are you striving for excellence? I mean, are you struggling with anything? Is there anything I can pray for? And I'm just like, I don't even know this guy. But man, instantly like that, he had an impact. Instantly, he was trying to mentor and give to me. He had a spot on the bottom of his foot that a doctor or nurse or whatever said, "No big deal. It's fine. Mid-40s. We don't have to check it out. Just a little spot. You'll be fine." A couple of years go by, just like explosion of tumors, cancer all throughout his body. And he battled this for 2 years, and this was the testimony that he had for people all throughout his life, at work, at church, random people that just spent, like, I knew him for 2 summers. I knew him a little bit before that when, you know, my sister married in their family. But just hearing again, and then for 2 summers, I got to experience this guy, and this was his testimony. Doug was a very remarkable, genuine, and wonderful person. He always had a huge smile on his face and displayed much happiness and strength. His journey through his battle was truly an inspiration and reflection to his relationship with our Lord. What a powerful testimony of faith. And then they quote Isaiah 41:10, which is a great plug-in to what we're talking about. "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I don't know if he was 49 or 51, but I remember it being right around 50. Battled this, I think, for 2 years or more, or right above 2 years. Died. Doug was one of the nicest people I have ever known, and he had more faith and strength than anyone I know. He always had a smile and a positive attitude. When he's battling this cancer and you could just see it eat away his flesh, the radiation, the poison he's just pouring into his body. And he was never about himself. I remember thinking, like, where is this guy getting his strength? How is this guy enduring? I'm thinking to myself, he's coming to me, and he's lost 40, 50 pounds, and he was this massive, burly guy, worked for Dominion Power, was a lineman for this electric company. And man, he was just strong. And man, he still had a smile. He was still, "Hey, Nathan, how's the basketball team? How's college? How's your spiritual walk? Hey, let's do lunch. Let's." And I'm just like, what about you? Like, Doug, take a rest. Man, he was hardworking. I remember the last couple months, I remember my sister and brother-in-law saying when he felt good enough to do some manual labor, he would call his employment and say, "Let me go work." He strived for excellence. And there's no doubt in my mind, Doug realized where his strength was found. And like Paul and all that he endured and all the hardness that he faced, man, it was the grace of God that got me through it. And I believe that's going to be true for each and every one of us. It's the only thing that's going to get us through. And the grace of God is sufficient for me, sufficient for you. And it's going to give you strength if you have the right grip and the realization and perspective of what God's done for you in your life. That no matter what obstacle, no matter what hardness, no matter what ailment, no storm, just like Paul, you're going to endure. Because it's going to be worth it. You're going to realize how good your God is, no matter what. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to speak. Lord, I pray that you use this. Lord, I know just in my life alone, it was a just application after application after application of, man, all these things that I can work on. Being more like the hardworking farmer, being more like the athlete who strives for excellence. And Lord, how easy it is for us to lose focus on what's really important. Just verse number 2 is just so, man, it's so meaningful. It's each and every one of us probably have had somebody in our life that's impacted us greatly. And Doug Lewis, and it reminds me all the time, that's why I try to smile, because I saw him go through all of that. Lord, the little things in life, Lord, the affairs of this life, help us to manage and to have a balanced life so that we can be an effective soldier for our King, our General, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, your blood, Lord, and what you've done for us. Your grace is sufficient. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.